as it was during the meetings. And I'm here to just say, listen, it's got to be important. It's got to be the most important thing in your life. I've watched it for, 4 years of my own salvation. And God would bring me under conviction during meetings, October meetings and teen week and April meetings and that. And I would just walk out. And within a 48-hour period, that conviction, that same conviction went away. Not because God took it away, because I just let it go away. And so there's a few things I want to talk about here. And one is, as an unsaved person, you are a Saul who will be Paul. He had his religiousness about him, okay? Most of you in this room grew up in a church. You have a religiousness about yourself, okay? And I just want to show you something in Acts 13. Turn with me to Acts 13 real quick. I just want you to see what God thinks about somebody in that condition. Acts 13, and now, Tim, do me a favor. Would you read Acts 13:10, please?
And said, O full of subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?
That's you. If you're an unsaved person in this room today, that is you. You are an enemy of God. You are an absolute enemy of God. And that's what Paul, and you know what that means? That means we're perverting his ways. Does that bother anybody? Does it bother you, Mike, that you're a possibly an enemy of God? You're not his friend. You're not his child. You're not his servant. You're total opposite. Let me just read that again, because I think it's very important. You see, it says, and full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil. If you're an enemy of God, you're a friend of the devil. Man, that's horrible, isn't it? Isn't that a scary place? Or has the fear of God? Has the fear of God, has that fear of what you're going to face one day, has that fear left you? How about a Friday night when most of you were under conviction? How about that fear of God? Has it left you already? Let's say you got to walk around with your head hung down. We got to work, got to take care of family. But you reached out. I could see the tears in your eyes, and you're reaching for God, and you got all those emotions all worked up. And I mean, right then and there, you would have wished it, that just would have happened right on that spot. Did you get that this morning? Do you have that this morning as we speak? Are you allowing God to keep that fire lit in you? Or are you being a Paul? I'm glad you guys come to church. I'm glad you come and sit underneath the preaching and you dress well and you do good, you talk fine. But that religiousness right there, God called him an enemy. You're an enemy of God. And it goes on to say in James 4:4. Let me just go to James 4:4 real quick. You know, I understand wholeheartedly that most of you guys grew up in a church. And thank God for growing up in a church. But let me ask you something. Because you know a verse, just because you know a verse, does that make you anything? No, it does not make you anything. Because you know what? You can't live them. James 4:4. What's that say, Eric? What's it, James 4:4 say?
Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is enemy of God.
You go, I'm not an adulterer and adulteress. Listen, let me just tell you this. If you break one law, you're guilty of them all. You adulterer. You adulteress. That's what you are. You know why? Because God is not in your heart. There's an idol in your heart. There's something there. And God says, that right there is what makes you my enemy. Man, being on the wrong side of God is not the place to be, Pete. You think going over there and fighting against ISIS and all that will be a bad thing? The fall under the judgment of the hand of God will be 100 times worse than that. Because there's no escape from it. It's permanent. You may escape the bullets over fighting in war and this and that. But let me tell you something. You're not going to escape the judgment of God. And it's going to come down on you. You know why? Because he's calling you his enemy. You're his enemy as you sit here today. God does not want that, people. And that's why I say this is one of the most important things. You better take, listen, get a hold of this, because this is the most important thing in your entire life. Marriage is big. Having kids is big. Buying a house and all that, that's all good stuff. It's all big stuff. But ain't nothing bigger than your soul. How are you going to handle that thing, Pete? How are you going to handle it, Tim, Mike? How are you guys going to handle that thing? Is it your soul worth anything? It is to God. He died for it. Thing is, we let go of it. Do you honestly believe in your heart or your hearts that this is talking about you? That you're an enemy of God? Do you not? Do you believe that God is saying to you that you're his enemy as an unsaved person? Do you believe that? You may not live fully like the world does, but without Jesus Christ, you're his enemy. You're none of his. You're none of his. That's not where he wants to leave you. Why do you want to stay there? Do you have the love of the truth, Pete? Do you desire the love of that truth in your heart? Do you desire that? Do you desire what Jesus Christ wants to give you? Gotta be diligent in that thing, man. Well, I've never met such more diligent people than the young people that I'm dealing with in this room today. You guys are diligent about your life. You're diligent about work. I mean, you want to go out there and prove that you're a man, and you work long hours, and you take care of your wife and your children and so on. But let me tell you, you're being diligent about everything that's wrong. You're not being diligent about your soul. Your soul. Your soul. Isn't that important? Let me see something here. This guy here can't help us. But that one that hung on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know why? Because he saw Sam Asquith hanging in that place. That's what he saw. For your soul. For your soul. Guys in here in the Army, Marines, firefighters, hard-working family men, hard-working husband, a young man growing up, all for naught. What is it that a man should gain the world but yet lose his soul in hell? What is it? What is it? If you believed that you're an enemy of God, if you really believe that this Bible is God's word, and you really believe what it says, do you know it's going to demand an action? You didn't come down here and think about sitting on that chair. You just sat on it. Why? Because you believe it was going to hold you up, yes? But then if you believe that Bible, why aren't you saved? Please answer me that question. I promise you, nowhere in that Bible does it ever say trust Jesus Christ for salvation. See, everything's mixed up. You heard me preach that over there at Letchworth. And if you weren't there, listen, let me just tell you this. There's no trusting in Jesus Christ for salvation. It's believing. You got a belief problem. Especially you young men who grew up in church. Looks real good up here. Sounds wonderful coming out of your mouth. But it's in the wrong place. You have a belief because you've heard the stories your whole life. You've watched what Jesus Christ has done, especially in this church. You see what he's done to me and my wife and Tanya Spencer and all that. You see it. Then why don't you believe it? What is it? What is it that you don't believe? Do you know that if you had that belief, the belief that God is asking for, that you would be a saved, born-again person sitting in this room today? It's a belief thing. Let me go on. I haven't even got to the message yet. Let me just say this. If you believe this Bible, if you believe that you are an enemy of God, it would bring you to such a deep sorrow of conviction. It would bring you under contrition like it's never been in your entire life. Wouldn't you, listen, if you really believe that you're an enemy of God, wouldn't that break your heart, Stephen, that you're his enemy, Mike? Shouldn't that break your heart? Shouldn't every one of you who are not saved sit in this room be crying right now because you realize that you're an enemy of God? That's the thing. There's no fear of it. It's okay to be his enemy. We don't have that deep contrition. That's the sorrow that you've never had in your entire life about what you are in God's eyes. You can't see it. You can't believe it. You can't trust it. And you're wondering, why? Why I get all these emotions and I'm reaching and I'm grabbing, Lord, and I want it. But you can never get it. Oh, God, I'd go to the altar for years and years. And I would just grip that thing. I could almost tear that floor up, man. I would grab it so hard, I got snot all over the place. Come on! It wasn't until I see myself in God's eyes that I was able to get saved. But you know what I noticed every time I got brought under conviction? And this is why I'm harping on it, is I let go of that conviction. Doesn't James talk about that? Look in the glass darkly. Looking in that. That's, he's talking about your Bible, and it shows you what you are. God under the preaching, Holy Ghost convicts you. It shows you what you are. And what do? Walk away and forget about what man and man we are. The Bible tells you you're going to do that. Stop doing it. Get back with God. He's striving. He went on the cross to die for you. It's not where he wants you to be. It's not God changing. It's us. We're doing it. We're the ones letting go. God hasn't let go of you guys since you brought... Anybody who was in this room on conviction on Friday night or other nights, God has not stopped that. You have. You're the one. Ecclesiastes 5. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 5, will you? Don't let go of this thing, please. I promise. I mean, last year, you have to be honest. How many of you guys last year got messages from me after team week telling you not to let go? If I had your phone number, Michael, did I not send you text last year saying don't let go of it? If you don't remember, believe me, I did. I know for sure you and Sam, I did. Pete, I don't know if I had your number, but last year, I remember last year doing the same thing that I'm telling you today. Don't let go of what God showed you during youth week. Anybody take heed to that? Now we're in the same position that you were last year. That means something's got to change. You know whose benefit's going to be? You and your family. If I got my family in the right place, Stephen, your wife would be sanctified through you. Not saved. Well, she'll be set apart. You ever want that for your wife? You love your wife that much? She mean that much to you, Mike? How about those kids? Man, you love those kids. Even the ones that you guys want to adopt, you love them that much. You don't get it right, you're going to fail that family. I'm sorry to tell you that, Mike. It's just how it's going to be. Don't fail that family. You're going to have a wife one day. I'm sure you will. But if you don't have God in the right place, forget it, guys. Forget it. You might stay afloat for a long time. Maybe all good and well. But how's your insides feel, Mike? Boy, I know you get under conviction, don't you, guys? Anybody in here don't get under conviction? Besides just you, you know you do. I do. Man, I got to change things in my life, too. Why do you think that conviction comes?
Ecclesiastes, let me read this. Ecclesiastes 5, and verses 1 and 2, it says, keep thy foot. If Ecclesiastes 5, 1 and 2, keep thy foot that thou goest in the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifices of fools.
What are you sacrificing? Why do you think coming in here is something that you think that you have to do when you're trapped in your own little religion? Why aren't you ready to hear? Tell me why. How good your hearing doing for you, Tim? I say, how good is it doing for you, man? Oh, your sacrifices, I mean. How good is it doing for you? Your life changed? How's the inside feeling? Be more ready to hear than give the sacrifices of a fool. Do you believe in God? Do you? I mean, do you really honestly believe in a God? If you believe in a God, let me say, how many of you fear God? Let's be honest, I didn't fear God. My motto was this, I'll never bow down to anybody or anything. That's before I got saved. That's the truth. I just wouldn't do it. Guess where you would have found me the night I got saved, Eric? Bowing down to a holy God. I'm not picking on you guys. I love you. And if nobody in here believes that I love him, then you're the crazy one. And I know God has a message, and this is the message he gave me for the people sitting in this room. There's one more, but he didn't come. John Mark.
And that's why I asked the permission to have you guys down in my room for Sunday school. I asked Pastor Hain and I asked my pastor, and he said, yeah. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Come on. Do you guys think you're that goody two-shoes that you don't do evil, that you're not guilty of breaking God's laws? Is that what you really think in your hearts? If so, you're in a very dangerous place. Very dangerous place. Number two, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Stop flapping your gums, man. Stop letting this thing be a mouth thing. Let this be an action thing. You know, your wife and kids, the people around you, people in the military, whoever, they're going to see it more than you keep flapping your gums. They'll see it. They'll see it. Isaiah 66. Go to Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. Let's read there. It's hot in here. I wasn't going to buy a fan, but I might. Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. This is how God sees the religion, okay? I'm sorry, but if you're not saved, this is how God is seeing you sitting in this room today. Isaiah 66, 3 and 4 says, he that killeth an ox, as if he slew a man. You know what that means? You know what he's saying, Tim? You brought me that wonderful ox, but because of the sin in your life, it's like you killed a man. You're a murderer in my eyes. You coming to sit in this church means absolutely nothing to me. Read that. Read the next part of it. What's it say? He that sacrificed the lamb is to cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation as if he offered a swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. How about that?
Are you tired of choosing what God has delighted not in your life? How about is your life? God is looking down from heaven, and I'm sure he's happy you're under the preaching. I'm positive he is. But those little religious things that we think that we do, he says it's like bringing an ox, but God's looking at it like you killed a man. What an insult to God that you bring a lamb, and he looks at it and says, that's like killing a dog. And then that blood you're shedding is like, what is it, an unclean animal? A swine. He says, it's like having swine's blood. That's what God is looking down on an unsaved person as. Who's caught up in their little, they're getting caught in their little ways, and they get caught up in their little religious movements, and they get caught up in this this whole thing of emotions. And man, stop. God's not going to reward that. And I'm glad you had a broken heart. Believe me, man, do you know how hard it is to see anybody shed a tear anymore? God loves to see that. He does. But that's not all he wants, guys. He didn't stop. Because you dried your eyes doesn't mean, Mike, he didn't stop with you, man. We stop with him. Does that make sense to anybody? We put the brakes on.
Keep your heart ready. Keep it ready to hear. Keep it ready to move. Isaiah 66. I want to go to the second half of the verse, part two. And it says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is what? Poor, and of a contrite spirit, that trembleth at my word. How about it, guys? Can God look at you and go, look at this poor human being. He understands what he is in my eyes. Look, he's in deep sorrow for what he's done. He's trembling at my word.
When's the last time you trembled at God's word? When's the last time you saw yourself poor in God's eyes and he broke your heart? He smoked that you're on your knees in such a deep, deep sorrow for what? For what? For what was done to you? No! I'm sorry for the things that were done to you, but there's never going to come any healing until you can see yourself the way God needs you to see. That's the little miracle that he works. He cleans that whole mess up.
Trembling at his word. Are you ready to be brought to a place that God can accomplish what he needs to in your life? Are you really? You can raise your hands in your little heart there and say, yeah, I'm ready. And you know this, especially with the guys around here, I'll know in a week if you think you're really serious about it. You know why? Because all you did was deal with your emotions. God doesn't want to deal with the emotions. That was a good thing. Didn't it feel good? It does. I do it. But then there's a lesson in that. It goes beyond that, Mike. Sam, it goes beyond those tears. God, that's what God wants. God, the tears, man, he loves them. He sees them. He feels it. He says, I understand that, man. I'm glad that that happened. But you know, there's more to go. And we just keep it moving. We keep it moving. It's like it never even happened to us. Can I ask a question? Would you be honest? Anybody get up this morning and pray and read before church? Anybody? Good. What about the lost? God is making this point here. It's not me. I'm not picking on you. I promise you. I love you. I'll cry with you day and night. I'll put my arms around you, tell you how much I love you. But you know what? It's never going to be me. I had no clue until I sat down yesterday and God said, I want you to get them boys. Have I ever brought you guys down here before? Pete, I know you sometimes don't want to be down here. You've outgrown it and you're upstairs, and I'm okay with that. I've never asked you guys to come to my Sunday school class. You've been coming here. Have I asked you to come down here? No, I have not. What do you think that came from, me? You better listen. You guys better take heed to this. Do not let go of what God is trying to say. Listen, this is not a coincidence. This is not me trying to get some. What am I going to get out of it?
I don't want nothing out of it. I want you to get something out of it, and you to get something out of it, and you, and you, and you. And if you're lost, you. I want you to get it. It's not for me. I'm more likely going to make you my enemy after today than I'm going to make you my friend. Why? Because God has given me a word to preach, and I'm not going to waver one side or the other.
And you know what? That's just the mercy of God on you guys that are lost in here. Ain't that something that God has a mercy for you today? And he says, I want them to hear this. Man, what a mercy. Anybody think of that as God's mercy today?
You're breathing right now, man. Do you know that God can just take that from you right now? Where would you be? Where would you wake up?
You ready to be brought to a place? If you don't believe that you're not, if you don't believe that God needs to get you to a place, then you're just not tired.
You're not tired of it. You're just not tired of it. And God showed you something on Friday night, but you're not there yet. You're not tired.
And so what's going to happen? Turn with me to 2 Chronicles 36. If you're not tired, we're going to see that God is going to start working. He needs to. 2 Chronicles 36. This is a spiritual picture of what happens to lost people and saved people in some instances. The Lord, we're going to see here, has brought Israel to a very low point in their life. Because the people followed after a king. They followed after the world. They followed after... You say, well, I don't live like the world. Then are you living like God? How much has your life changed? Can people tell that you're a Christian? Then you're of the world. Just plain and simple. You're of the world. Okay? And so here, this is what Israel's doing. They're living for the world, and they try to put things in their life. They get a little religion about themselves and put all these idols in their hearts. And what happens? They start replacing God. And here's what it says in 2 Chronicles 36, verses 12 and 13. He goes on and he says, And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, talking about the king. And he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Verse 13, it says he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who made him swear by God. And guess what he does? He stiffened his neck and hardened his heart and turning unto the Lord God of Israel. And those of you who are not saved today, that is you. That is a picture of you. You're not turning to God, you're turning from Him. You're stiffening your neck and you're hardening your heart. Why? Because you let go of what God showed you. You let go of what He's trying to work with you on. He says, come, let us reason together. Not come, let me convince you one time, you shed some tears and then it's over with. That's not what He wants. So guess what now? Please avoid this. Now He's going to bring you to a low place in your life. Guys, it may not happen to you guys outwardly because you work hard in that. But let me tell you something. Hey, Pete, what about if you go to work the next week and you're hanging drywall, a piece of that comes down and breaks your neck? How about it, Mike? You get yourself caught up in one of those little machines or something you work with, whatever. How about it? Does God have to bring you that low, Sam? Steve? Tim? Does it have to be that low, Randy? That's what he always had to do. You read it throughout all of history, and he had to bring people so low that they could even barely open their eyes to see. I have a fear. Please hear me. I have a fear. This time, God's not going to let you guys off so easy. I have a fear of that. I have an absolute fear that this team week, for the third, fourth, and fifth time, or however long you've been coming here, that God is just not going to let you off so easy anymore. Please take heed to the warning. It's a warning. How do you know? Is there anybody in here who can say, oh, that's just from you? Is there anybody in here who's willing to take that chance that God is not waving that white flag at you right now? Is there somebody in here who thinks that they're that bad, that they're not going to listen to anything, and that God maybe, just maybe, Pete, waving that white flag for the last time? This is it. How do you know that? Is that the chance you want to take, Tim? How about it? Randy? How about it? Christian? How about you? You claim you're saved, right? Am I right? Am I wrong? Okay. Beautiful. Then how about it, Eric? If God drops that flag, done. And you know what? Unfortunately, your blood won't be on my hands, but boy, I tell you what, it'll sure break my heart. You don't think I'd cry for you guys if something happened to you? I'd bawl like a baby. Why? Because you know what? I've made a lot of mistakes over the years. It may not hit so much against you guys, but I love you guys. I honestly love you guys. There's no homophobic, and I'm not gay and all that garbage. I just love you. I love your families. You ask your dad. One of my favorite times of the year is when all you guys are together so I can come hang out with you guys. You ask me because I love it. I absolutely love hanging out with all you guys. Pete, you too. I understand you're busy. I love you guys. He says, and he rebelled, stiffened his neck, hardened his heart, and the very next thing it says, and so the people did as he. And so are you doing as the world. You're hardening your heart. You're stiffening your neck against God. There's no, you guys can see that there's no fear of God, right? There's no fear of God on the world. There's no fear of God in you. You don't have a fear of God. God doesn't want to fear you, make you fear to go to hell. He's not going to try to get you like that. But you should be. I mean, you have to be honest. I mean, that's a pretty scary thought. But you know, the fear of God is the beginning of what? Anybody know?
Wisdom.
You want wisdom in salvation? You want wisdom with your family, with those little girls and your wife and the military and that? Or do you need a fear of God? There is no fear of God. It's gone. That's the one thing I beg you don't let go of. Or get it if you don't have it. You better get the fear of God in you. God have mercy. Mike, are you guys leaving today? I hate to say this to you, but what if you didn't make it home, man? Just what if? You think it can't happen, Steve? You don't live far from here. How many miles? 15?
What about you walking across the street? You got a bad eye. What if you don't see that big rig coming, Sam? Huh, Tim? What about it, guys? Come on, Pete. What about it? How about you? You drive a car now. Well, there's a lot of texting. A lot of drunk driving, especially this weekend. How about it, guys? God, what a sad, sad story that would be if I had to hear that one of the people that I love has been lost for eternity. You don't think that would play on my heart? I've known you all, not as much as you, Mike, but I fell in love with you years ago. And I don't mean that in a homosexual way. But the rest of you guys, we're all in my Sunday school class. And I've loved you even before I got saved. I just love you guys. But Tim, it's not my love that's going to save you. It's not my love that can help you out. I wish by the grace of God I could, but I can't. But I can stand up and tell you. I can stand up and tell you, and I'm gonna. I might not be able to finish everything here. Verses 14 through 16 says, "Moreover, all the chief and priests and the people, they transgress very much after all the abominations of the heathen, and they polluted the house of God," which, you know, how they pollute it? By this sitting in it. Just by you being an unsaved person, you're polluting the house of God because there's no fear in you. There's a conviction that's gone, and all you're saying is fooey to God. How about, let's go on. Let's read the next part here. Verse 15, "The Lord thy God, their fathers, sent to them by his messengers." How many more people have to come here and tell you and warn you and tell you and warn you? How many more times does the Spirit of God have to move into your heart before you finally get it? God is sending messengers because he cares. Over and over and over and over. Count yourselves. How many times have you been brought under conviction in the past few months? How many times have you been brought there in the past few weeks? How about the past few years? You just blow it off? Let me go on. Okay? God has sent to them by his messengers. How many more times does God have to keep sending men and the word into your life before you get it? This is the striving of God. He keeps sending you people. He keeps sending you warnings. Why? It says he keeps sending them by the messengers, rising up many times, betimes, and sending. Why? Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Can't you see that God has compassion for you? Does that not grip your heart to know that the God of heaven has compassion for you and he wants to keep sending people, but there's going to come a time where he's going to stop? You may not believe what I'm going to say here, but you're not sitting in this church. You're not here today on accident or because you think that you planned something. God holds all things in his hands, and that is your life. He knew you were going to come sit here, even if it was late. He's having compassion. Be honest. Does that stir your heart, anybody? Just be honest. Yeah, let's just be honest. God already knows it doesn't. But he wants to change that. Pete, he wants to change that, man. And you know what? Being a Christian does not mean you're weak. It is not a crutch. It is not for weaklings. A man can be a Christian. A woman. Not a child. Not a little girl. Not a little boy. A man. A Marine. An army guy. Can be a Christian, a worker, a family man, an ex-gang member. Can be a Christian. It's not a weak way out of anything. It's a life that he wants to give. Michael, the glory of your children and your wife are from you. The glory of your wife. Read your Bible, it'll tell you that. It's not about you anymore. Yeah, you do great. as a father. I'm not saying you do great as a wife, but it's the wrong way. You do great as a husband, I'm sure. We all make mistakes, don't we, Mike? Yeah, of course we do. But your wife's never going to see anything this evening. And I understand her pain, and I love her, and I pray for her. But your wife is never, ever going to ever come to the cross of Jesus Christ if she can't see you. Ever. She'll never step there.
And God is stirred in her here and there. She's starting to feel a little tiny bit comfortable. But the rest is going to come from Jesus Christ and Stephen Asquith. Same with you, Mike. What about little Isaiah? What about Seth, man? Raven. My goodness, man. If they can't see Jesus Christ in you, they'll never come to that cross, brother. That's important. Man, these are little kids now. It's not just playing with me and my wife who are adults. We're talking about children. Thank God you guys are in a great church. God bless you for that church, man. But church, did church do you any good your whole life? Did it? How many of you church people are unsaved in here? We can keep our children in here. How well did it do you? See, my friend, it's going to go beyond church. It has to. And it's going to go right there. That's where it's going to start. Same with you, man. And the rest of you guys. It's got to go beyond just church. And it's not like anybody's mad because you're here. That's not what I'm saying. You guys know what I'm saying. It's wonderful that you're here because it's the foolishness of the preaching. Some knucklehead who'll get up here and preach you the truth, man. That's where it's going to come from. The thing is, you have to hold on to that. You got to grip that thing, Eric. Got to grip it.
And you can never let go, ever. The rest of your life.
Once you grab a hold of that thing, Sam, once you grab a hold of it, you can't let go. I've seen you in and out of your cycles, okay?
I watch and I rejoice every time you get into it. I do. Because that's just one more step that you've taken. That's one more part of you being diligent. This time, it's got to go way beyond that. Do you realize every time that you let go of God's conviction for your life, it gets harder and harder and harder and harder? It's not going to get any easier. And then what if? Let's read I'm not going to get through everything here, guys, but I need to read. It says, but they mocked the messengers. You know what kind of mockery that is? Well, you don't listen to the preaching. We don't listen to what God's word is saying. You're mocking them. Didn't the Roman soldiers mock Jesus Christ? That's what you're doing. That's what an unsaved person does when they don't believe in his word. You're just mocking it. It's nothing to it. It's just a game. It's just a way of life. No, it's beyond that. But I'm going to finish with this here. It says they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words. You didn't listen to his words. And it misused the prophet. Here we go. Until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people. Oh, till there was no remedy. A man who constantly hardens his neck and stiffens his heart says suddenly destruction is going to come with no remedy. With no remedy. How about that? Would you like to get caught up in that? Well, you're fit, young man. You can work out pretty darn good. Don't mean your heart can't stop right now sitting in that chair. Where are you going to go, Tim? How about it, Pete? Sam? You guys are all young bucks. Healthy, good shape. Huh? What if God said, you know what? I don't believe Mike really has the desire for the love of the truth. I've been trying to get him since he was a kid. He wants to continue to put me off. And he says, that's it. And he just yanks you from you. How selfish to leave your wife and your children like that, Mike? Wouldn't that be? The thing is, do you guys ever think about God doing that to people? He does that all the time. I want you to realize that. Because let me say, I can see on the outside, Stephen, right? I can judge you guys by the outside. But God's looking on the inside of your heart, Mike. Steve, he really knows if you really want the love and the truth. Or do you just want him to give you a little patch job? Don't you look for a little patch job to fix a little thing? Not going to happen. Hey, he's looking for more just a patch job. This is going to be something eternal and permanent. not the patch job anymore. It's beyond that. Please, for your sakes, for your family, for your future, for eternity, don't let go of what God has already started. Hasn't He started? You know He started in your life, guys. You know He started during Teen Week. Okay? Don't stop. I seen you crying. I seen the tears shed. Don't stop it. You need to continue to go. You need to continue to grab a hold of that thing. And let God do what He's going to do. I don't have time to finish. Honestly, I only got to the first paragraph here. But I believe God gave me the words that needed to be said here today. And I hope that you take heed, not to what I have to say, because I gave you scripture to back everything up I said. That's what I want you to take heed to, that scripture. And we're going to keep praying for you guys. And you know what? You all have my phone number. You want to drop a text, talk, call me. 24/7, 7 days a week. You all know that.